Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, June 2nd, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening to us over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, not sure whether I hit the recording on that. Hang on. Did I?
Started.
Yes, I did hit it. All right. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can click on a donation tab, top right side of the website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be picking up on chapter 5, Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Let me see if I can set it up here. Okay. I think I just missed that. Hold on. Okay. Luke. I'm sorry. We're in chapter 8. I don't know why I had chapter 5 written down here. Hang on a second. Yep, it's
chapter. I make a shirt.
And you make a shirt.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Okay, it's Luke chapter 8. Let me reset that. So what am I in now? Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 8, read by Alexander Scorby.
I don't hear anything, John.
Hold on a second. All right, let me check my setup here. I may not have hit the right button for sharing. Yeah, I didn't hit computer sound. Apologize for that. Let me reset this. Okay. Luke chapter 8, read by Alexander Scorby. If you don't hear it again, let me know, but I think I got it.
Chapter 8. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain, which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God, and do it. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode he in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship, and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions to make or any announcements?
Yes, John, we have several. The first one has three parts and they're short, so I'll read them all together and then you can digress on them. Are we growing with COS across America? Do we know if there's a Pennsylvania assembly other than Anne Yvonne Ritz? And how many Pennsylvanians are members? And the way it's written, I would assume that's members of an assembly. Could be of the COSs across America, too, I guess.
Okay. Well, we are building committees of safety across America. It's moving a little slow, maybe. It's up to the people to educate themselves. We can just facilitate that education and give them all the necessary tools in order to create their committees of safety. We'll take a look on the right-hand side of a website. We should have the details of how many COSs we've got going right now. Let's see, we have total county committee of safety organizers. We have 203. So there are 203 counties in America out of 3,134 counties. There are 203 counties that are in the process of creating a committee of safety. I know in my county here, we've created a committee of safety. We're still kind of in the process. We've done our resolution. We've done our charter. And we're about ready, I think, to go meet with the first time with our sheriff. So everybody's at a different place. It does take time. Some people are able to get a committee of safety going quickly, and some may take some time to really get it going. But it's up to the people. Now, as far as the assembly, particularly connected to Anne Yvonne Ritz, we are disconnected from Anne Yvonne Ritz. Unless anybody has any very specific questions about her, we're not compatible with whatever it is that she's doing. And we do understand a lot of things she's doing, but there are certain problems. Now, we do have, just since this question has come up, we do have a group of people, I was told maybe about 40 individuals, different states, but they're collected, they've come collected somehow, connected, and they're working on trying to do things in their counties. I've had a conversation with one of the leadership individuals, and they're interested in what we're doing. And so we're going to meet with these individuals, but today's, it just can't work, the scheduling, their schedule and my schedule is kind of difficult. So I said, why don't you just come on to the Monday night program? And we can, you know, have this conversation openly, and it'll be all about what we're doing here. It'll focus particularly on the grand juries. That is the most the highest interest. But we're working beyond the grand juries. We have to have committees of safety going, and we're going to get into those discussions next week. So next week, when we come together on Monday, these people will be coming in, and they'll be getting into the queue. They've got a lot of questions, and I'll probably do an overview, and they got a lot of questions, and hopefully we'll be able to give a lot of answers. Anybody that is a normal visitor here or a member of National Liberty Alliance, you're welcome to get into the queue as long as you stick on the focused conversation, which, again, is what we are doing. It's going to be concerning, again, the grand jury and the trial jury, the administrations for those juries, and how what we're doing and how we're structuring that, the committees of safety, which is the necessity in order to have government by consent, the process and procedure by which we are taking our courts back, which I've got a little bit of an announcement on that also tonight, and how we have to take our political process back and how we have to get rid of the minions of the New World Order. We have to clean out the judiciary, just like Trump is cleaning out the political process. We have to do the same with the judicial process. But once we get our courts of record back, which are courts of justice, and we get back to the rules of common law, then we are going to set a major, I don't like to use the word assault because someone would think that it's a physical thing we're going to do. No, we're going to come out after them legally. We're going to give them due process, and we're going to go after all of these individuals. Hopefully, you know, and again, we'll discuss a little bit this because Trump hopefully is working with us on this. Hopefully we'll find that out sooner or later. And maybe we won't have to do too much work on this. Maybe he'll do most of the heavy lifting to get rid of these people. But clearly what must happen at all costs, it must happen. We must get rid of the Bar Association. They have got to go. And I do believe that Trump understands this now with some things that took place, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that also tonight. Okay, with that, I guess that's it. Again, the assembly, you know, as far as Anna von Ritz is concerned, we are not compatible with her or the things that she's doing. Anything else, Jan?
Yeah, on the committees of safety, you know, all you have to do is go to the website and click on
directory.
What is it?
Yeah, they have to click on the directory. Yeah. I got it opened up now. What is it, Pennsylvania?
Yes, it was a Pennsylvania question.
Yeah, so they're in District 9 here, okay? And if we come down to Pennsylvania, we find, let's see, where is Pennsylvania? There it is. Okay, you click on Pennsylvania and you get all the statistics concerning our membership, how many counties, and where we are with committees of safety. In Pennsylvania, we have 547 members. There's a total of 67 counties. And there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 counties in process of building committees of safety. And you got their first name and you got their phone numbers here. And again, everybody's at a different place. I know some people, you know, are having trouble trying to get things started. But eventually they'll find one person and, you know, and another person will find another person and they'll start to grow and get things going. And some people, you know, will have more skill in organizing and be able to really push things forward quickly. Again, once you get maybe 15 to 20 people and you connect with the sheriff, we can teach you how to turn that 20 people into hundreds within a year and far more than that as time goes on. So, but anyway, that's what's available in Pennsylvania. So again, whatever state you're in, you can come here and click in on this thing and, you know, directory up here, and then find your state and find the information. Back to you, Jan.
Okay. Approximately 1 month ago, I sent an email to NLA with a list of those I recommend that you contact, being that you are all on the same mission, to discuss how to get legal education into the schools ASAP, making it a mandatory curriculum requirement, starting from kindergarten through 12th grade. As of today, I have not heard from anyone. Please let me know your thoughts, and will you consider contacting those listed for such a discussion?
Right. Well, I have been extremely busy. I mean, I don't have much time to do anything outside the things that I'm doing, and even that I don't have enough time to do, so... which, again, I'm going to be making an announcement of some things we just finished up on this week, the end of last week. So I haven't made contact with anyone. I don't know if they sent that info to you, too, Jan. But look, if you've got some people that is interested in what we're doing, you know, give them our contact information, and we'll make that connection, and Jan will set up a meeting for our leadership with that individual or individuals and see what we could do to connect. You know, there's just a lot of things to do, and you can only do so many things. So, but anyway, I haven't made contact. I'm not even sure whether I've seen that list. Have you seen that list, John?
Yeah, I think it came in at least a week ago.
Yeah, I might have seen it, but I just don't remember it. I had a conversation with, like I said, one individual who was connected with about 40 other individuals who are interested in learning what we're doing, and they're going to be here next Monday. And that I remember, but they made contact with me. They've called me three times. We've had conversations those three times, and they'll be coming on our next Monday night program. So I don't know if you... Well, what exactly did it give you, names and numbers, phone numbers and things, or just different organizations, or what, on that list, Jan?
The person that submitted that is on the call tonight, if you'd like to open up her mic, if I can find her quick. Yeah. Doesn't want to stay open. Okay. Would you like to make any comments on that? I don't remember when I read it. I think you had some phone numbers in there and about four or five different people's names. Okay. She's not answering up. I can resend that to you, John, and see what we can do with it.
Yeah, okay, and we'll see what happens. But, we need people to help us do what we're doing. And things like this, like making connections with people that are doing podcasts that might want to interview us and get this message out. We've got a lot of things to share of what we've been doing. And again, we're going to share some stuff tonight. All right, let's go back to the questions. And any other questions?
Yes, there's two more, John. The next one has kind of come up before, but we'll run it through. I'm thinking of creating a website for my county committee of safety. I was wondering if there's a county in the United States that it's already done. And, is there a template that I could copy or at least start with? So I don't have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. There's no way I could duplicate the National Liberty Alliances, and I don't want to, but would forward people to that site for most everything. I think they will go to a local county website first before they would go to National Liberty Alliances websites.
Before they would go what? I didn't get that last part. They go to some other website instead of what?
I think that they would go to a local site before they would go to the National Liberty Alliance website.
Well, there's no way that any individual is going to set up a website that's going to fulfill all the needs that are necessary for a common law, for the committees of safety. It is a good idea. Of creating a website. It's a possibility that we may do here in Dutchess County. And if I do that, I will put up the website for people to be able to copy that if they want to. It's not a necessity, okay? And it is extremely important that people come and participate in your committee of safety. Now, there are different programs out there that could be set up for communications, emails, putting up events that you're doing locally. And I'm trying to think. We had used these websites when we were in the Ron Paul movement and the Tea Party movement and various other things. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I don't know why it's escaping me at the moment. But I will search that out because it was a great tool. It was very simple. You set up your information, you actually create your own URL. So it would be, the Committee of Safety of whatever county you're in your state. So for me, for instance, be Dutchess, New York Committee of Safety. You can probably reduce it by putting the COS, so it's not too long. So NY, Dutchess County, or COS. But what was really nice is, if you have an event and you took pictures and you want to put information and write something about the event, how it went, and so on and so forth. It's all set up. It's all ready for you just to plug in your personal stuff. There's also a lot of communication to be able to have conversations on there. They have an email thing, and you can set up automatic emails to send a message out, to remind people of the upcoming meetings and what time and so on and so forth. Also the same thing with events. So it's a really nice setup. It's very inexpensive. I forget what it was, but, for some reason I'm thinking maybe it was like, $20 every 3 months or something, or every 4 months or something like that. It wasn't expensive. So I think that's a really good tool to use. I just got to try to... Oh, meetup.com, I believe it was. I think that's what it was, meetup.com. I'm going to look into this, and we'll talk about that in the future. Let me write this down, meetup. I'm pretty sure that was it, meetup.com. So we'll set that up. Now, it's important to link to our website because the purpose of National Liberty Alliance, okay, is to help people to organize, to communicate, and to become educated. We have no intentions of leading the people. We have no intentions of giving people marching orders or trying to get everybody to do this or to do that. Okay, we're just here to help people communicate, educate, and organize, and give them all the training necessary to do all the necessary things required in order to truly have government by consent. You know, people think they're free and they got some liberty, and maybe they see a few of their liberties, are being corrupted by the government. But they have no clue, that you're still a slave. You have no clue. Well, most people don't have no clue. People who are getting educated and understanding this, but most people have no clue that they are still a slave, and there's so much liberty that you have lost. You depend too much on the government, and even though you think you don't, as time goes on and you start learning this stuff, you're going to say, wow, I didn't realize this, I didn't realize that, For instance, let's just take these judges, okay? They're administrative law judges. They're ALJs. That's exactly what every single judge out there is, an ALJ, administrative law judge. Has nothing to do with the law of the land as far as a court of record is concerned, a court of justice. They have no business to be in our courts. They have no business to make decisions. They have no business putting people in jail. They have no business with their summary judgments. They have no business applying their rules upon us. They have no business denying our rights when we come into our courts. They have no business of denying us due process. No business. And people have no clue on how serious and defunct these courts are. And how come you don't know about it? Because you haven't been taught it. Our founding fathers, particularly Jefferson and Madison joined in on this. They did tremendous research. Jefferson, of course, was the main focus. Tremendous research to discover the government that he gave us, the Bill of Rights that he gave us, the law that he gave us. Actually, they were already living in that law because they were under courts of record, or common law courts, shall we call them, back in his day. The king was trying to destroy that by sending, legions of bar attorneys. And eventually, of course, as time went on, we have the American bar. But he sent legions to destroy our courts. And they did a very good job, even in the day of Jefferson. They started this in 1750 to destroy our courts, while we were still yet colonies and hadn't even created the states yet. Our Declaration of Independence. The king wanted to destroy this common. He was working on it and pretty much had it done, I presume, back in England and Britain at that point. And he was working on the colonies because you colonists were just a problem to him, because you knew too much, and you wanted your liberty too much, and you were living in your liberty too much, and he wasn't happy with that. We have a government that feels the same way. Well, maybe not so much now, but we do still have a judiciary that feels the same way, and we still have legislators that feel the same way. I mean, who do you think you are that you want to be free and independent and actually enjoy the liberty? Who do you think you are? I mean, that's their attitude. and whether they express it outright or not. So anyway, you know, look, we have to get educated. If you skip NLA, we got 15 years of research and books written, 14 books written, okay, a website that would take you a lifetime to go through. And that's the research that we've done, the conclusions. We have education. We have courses you could take. You get certificates for these courses. We have a law course you could take. We have videos, instructional videos, exactly step by step by step on creating a committee of safety. And each one of these subcommittees and what the purpose of each subcommittee is, step by step. Just go out to start a committee of safety and come down to handbooks, videos, and tools. You're not going to be able to build a committee of safety properly, nor are you going to be able to build a committee of safety that is compatible and have the ability to work with other committees of safety, which is absolutely necessary to have government by consent. Our founding fathers were organized. They were organized by committees of safety. Every colony had their committee of safety going. And that's how they communicated, that's how they educated, that's how they formed the things they formed. And if they didn't have those communications going on between them and that education, particularly what Jefferson supplied for them, if he didn't have that, then we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be America. But this is what they've given us. And all we have to do is follow their lead. And that's what we put together here at National Liberty Alliance. Okay, this page here. Under Start a Committee of Safety, you go to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. It's the handbooks, documents, videos, and PowerPoints for your county committees of safety meeting. We have handbooks here that you can download for free in PDF form, step-by-step how to create a committee of safety, step-by-step dealing with the political process, the judicial process, and all the different things in different subcommittees. We have how to communicate with the sheriff, how to go forward and deal with him, how to bring that sheriff on board, how to take a sheriff that is totally ignorant and looks like the enemy and turn him around by education, giving him an education he cannot deny. Because anybody who reads these books, you're going to find them filled with footnotes. And the footnotes is documentation of the facts that this is it. This is the way our nation was built. And this is what we have to do to have government. You can't have government by consent. Let me repeat that 10,000 times. You cannot have government by consent if you don't have a committee of safety. Let me say that again. You cannot, anybody thinks you can have government by consent, please get on the mic. If you think you could do it without a committee of safety, get on this mic tonight and tell me how that is. Because I have no clue on how you're going to do it. You can't have it because you have to work together. One person is not enough. You have to have the people in your community in one accord that are educated, understand the system, the process, what due process is in the courts, how the political process works, how to take control of those people, how to bring them down under the thumb of the people, and to bind them by the Constitution, by the chains of the Constitution, as Jefferson put it. And if you don't know those things, you can't have government by consent. You don't even know what your true true liberties are. You know, if we don't know, almost everything the legislators do, they have no power and no authority to do it. But people are so ignorant to these things because they haven't got a clue, and they don't even know that they're being abused. You know, look what Doge has found, okay? All that money. I mean, we've been slaves all of our lives, paying for all these things. And what are we paying for? What are we giving this money up for? What is the tax man coming and getting? What's he using it for? He's using it to destroy the United States of America, to destroy your Constitution, to destroy liberty in this nation. So anyway, introduction to a committee of safety. It's critical to watch this video if you've got a committee of safety going. County committee, and you can download all these things. You can put them onto a thumb drive and plug it into your laptop, and you can play this video at your meetings, and you should do so. They're short videos. They're not long, maybe 20 minutes, half hour. They're purposely made short, and you can do one a week. You know, the Committee of Safety, American Revolution, the COS charter. You need to understand the charter, why you have to have a charter. And you have to see that we put together the framework for a charter. People can add to it, but we put the structure together to have it prepared so that you just put it together, get together and talk. What do you want to plug into this thing? And if you just want to use the charter the way it is for now, that's good. It gives you structure. It structures you exactly how the county next door will be structured, and the county next door to that will be structured, and so on and so forth across the states. Okay? We're all structured the same way. And you have to have a charter, and the charter lays out the things of who you are as a people to be given to the sheriff and say, this is who we are. We are your constituents. You want our vote? Come talk to us. And this is what we have in our charter. This is what we believe. And then you have to put Committee of Safety resolutions. Again, we put a structural framework put together. And you can add to that over time. You can just adopt it the way it is. And every month as you come together, you can add things to it and continue to build. Meet your sheriff. We have the plan to meet the sheriff. You know, I hear from people all the time, oh, my sheriff's no good. Yeah, we just got to give him. How do you know he's no good? He's probably just as ignorant as you are and I was at one point in time. Or anybody else that eventually got educated, we were all ignorant. We were never taught this stuff in school. What you learn here at National Liberty Alliance, you never learned in school. And I don't care how far back you go. You never learned this stuff because they don't want you to learn. They got to keep the slaves ignorant. You can't understand liberty. You can't understand the law. You know, if you got to go into our courts, you need to go find yourself a lawyer and give them a whole bunch of money, okay, in order to come into our courts so we can control you in our civil law courts, and which strips you of your liberty. You know, if you want to talk with God, go see a priest or a pastor or someone. You know, you don't have a direct line to that at all. Actually, you do. It's called the Bible. But people don't know that. People think they can't understand that. You know, you want understanding and wisdom, ask for it. God says he'll give it to you. It's that simple. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. Go to the Bible, ask God, and over time he will give it. I know for a fact because he's given it to me. Committee of Safety of the American Revolution, Education Committee. What does the Education Committee do? What is the importance of that? And it's the Education Committee that's going to build your committees of safety into the hundreds and potentially the thousands in your county. We have the Committee of Safety Political Committee. Again, every month, you should come together, show on one of these videos and talk about it, that you come to understand and people come to realize, you know, that's the committee I should belong to. I should belong to the education. No, I want to be with the Judiciary Committee or the Political Committee. You know, you got to choose a committee to be on. Some people may choose two committees, you know, and many hands make light work, the more people you have. So here are the handbooks. We've got all these tools to create all the things you need to do to create a committee safety. You cannot have government by consent if you don't have committees of safety. End the subject, and that's the end of that. Because we have to come together as a people. Do you think Jefferson could have stood up without Washington, without Madison, without Franklin, without any of those people, and create the nation he created? No, it's an impossibility. It had to happen through committees of safety. Then they had to control that process to create that process. How? Through committees of safety. It's the Committees of Safety that brought the Continental Congress together. It's the Committee of Safety that brought the Second Continental Congress together. It's the Committee of Safety who decided we have to separate ourselves from Britain. It was the Committee of Safety who got together and debated the Constitution that we have. It is the Committee of Safety that got together and debated the Bill of Rights that we have. And the foundation of the law being the Declaration of Independence upon which those two documents set upon. You can't have liberty unless you work together with other people. You can't put a person onto the ticket, put them on to be potentially elected in for whatever position. You want a sheriff that, and you find a good person that's a sheriff. One person can't get him onto the ticket. It takes a group of people to go out and walk the papers to get that individual onto the ticket to be elected potentially as the sheriff. It takes your support of people. Not political parties. Political parties are destructive. Democratic Party is a destructive party. The Republican Party is a destructive party. Parties are no good. George Washington spent two-thirds of his farewell address warning the people about political parties, don't get involved with them, don't structure them, because they're going to kill you, they're going to destroy this nation. And so it has. We've come to the brink of destruction. But by God's mercy, we're being pulled out of it at the last moment. You know, Jefferson told us that these judges are going to destroy America. And they have brought us to the brink of destruction. They've destroyed the law in 1938. It's gone. You don't have a constitution. It's a figmentation of the imagination of your mind if you think that you have these constitutional, these Bill of Rights, that is unalienable rights from God. You think they have any respect for that? You think you're going to get that when you go into court? You think you're going to get due process? You're not getting due process. I've been into hundreds of cases. You don't get due process in these courts. These are civil law courts. And run by, they're administrative courts. You're under statutes and regulations as if you're some kind of a corporation or a government agency. That's why you're all capped in your letters when you go into the courts. And you just pile the money into the pockets of lawyers to get nothing, because you lose before you even get in. You're not going to beat the government in a courtroom. You're not going to beat the status quo, these big corporations in the courtroom, because the fix is in. So you can't have government by consent without a committee of safety. And you can't have a committee of safety unless you understand what it is, how it's structured, what it does, what's the powers, how to execute those powers and those authorities, and how to take control of these, of your local government, all the way up through your congressman and your senator, taking control of your state legislature. But you have to work together, because one county can't do it. You know, you have to work with other counties, because they have representation too. We need to take the whole ball of wax from these people. We need 3,134 committees of safety in America. That's what we need. And we need 50 to 100 people at some point in time in each one of those committees of safety. And then we own America. Liberty is then yours. We will control the courts. We will put these people in jail. We'll put them at the end of a rope. We'll put them, whatever needs to be done. We, the people, can do it. But unless you have committees of safety, you can never have government by consent. You will never have, never ever have your unalienable rights that you could take and go into a courtroom and take control. Because you should be able to walk into a courtroom and use that Bill of Rights to take 100% control and cast anyone in jail, any of these people that try to step into your courtroom and take control with summary judgments, you put them in jail from subversion. People have no clue of these things. They don't know how it works. And I talk to myself first, because I'm as ignorant as you are. At least I was as ignorant as most people are. Some people, of course, a lot of people that are educating themselves, taking the courses and reading the books and doing what has to, and creating committees of safety and working with others in the county, well, they're getting it. And they're getting enlightened. And they're getting liberated. And they're getting empowered. You cannot save America without a committee of safety. You cannot have government by consent without a committee of safety. You cannot have courts of justice without committees of safety. You can't get rid of the two-party system without the committee of safety. You can't take control of the political process without committees of safety. So, people must come to National Liberty Alliance to get their education. And they shouldn't fear us, because we tell it all the time, and we'll say it in public over and over again. And you'll be able to come to this Monday night meeting and saying, you said this, and you're doing this, when you shouldn't be doing this. And what I'm saying here is, we do not stick our nose and our fingers into the people's business on the county level. We don't give anyone marching orders. We're just structuring and putting it all together for people to take as our founding fathers gave to us and give to you. That's all we're doing. And we're advisors. You want our advice? We'll give you all the advice in the world. If we come with some great ideas, we'll send the ideas to you. It's up to you to go along with it or not. Lots of other committees of safety will become very successful, more successful than other committees of safety. And we'll say, how did you become so successful? What are you doing that's different? Oh, well, we did this instead of that, and we built it. Well, let's share this with everyone else. That's not telling anybody what to do, but it's offering people things to do. If you want your liberty, and you want your freedoms, and you want courts of justice where you can go get justice, and you must build committees of safety. There is no other way. It ain't happening without it. I don't care what Trump does. I don't care what the good Republicans do, all the white hats. They could do everything. They can give you everything, and they could put it all back together for you, but you ain't going to be able to keep it. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. We got a republic, if you can keep it, because a republic requires the people to become involved in the process. And we're not talking, you know, a full-time job here. We're talking come to a meeting once a month and spend 2 or 3 hours in the evening once a month to come to a meeting and spend a couple hours a week getting educated, taking the courses, reading the books, coming to an understanding who we are as a people, what kind of nation are we? How did this nation come together? You can't have government by consent without committees of safety. You have to have an education. You have to have a knowledge of these things. You can't have a republic without understanding it. You know, people don't even understand the difference between law and equity. They don't understand the difference between civil law and law. And that'll kill us. It already has. It's wiped America out. We've been all but destroyed. But by the grace of God, we're catching it at the tail end and raising it back up, if you can keep it. All right, I guess I went a little long on my rant here, but is there anything else, Jim?
Just a little.
Okay.
This is the last question, John. Is there any place on the website where other members' contact information is listed? I would especially like to connect with others in my state, which is Ohio.
Yes, if you start a committee of safety in your county, or if a committee of safety has already been started in your county, and you join together with the individual, you get the individual who created it, they can get the contact info, because we just don't give this to anyone. You have to be registered as someone starting a committee of safety. And you do that by going to the directory. This is where it starts. You click on the directory, and you come down, and you look for your state. We'll take New York now, this time. Let's see, New York. In New York, we have 743 people. You want the 743 people's names, we'll give it to you with their phone numbers. We won't give the emails, because we're not going to build committees of safety. We're not going to do anything that's going to be successful if you think you're going to do it by email. It's not going to happen. No, you have to get on the phone. It has to be person to person, mano to mano. Then it has to be physically meetings. You can't have meetings online. You have to have a physical meeting. You can have, you know, other meetings throughout the month. You know, maybe committees will come together. Like if you're on a judiciary committee, let's say, and you might meet once a month for that online, to discuss the plans and what's going on and what the, you know, you have to give reports to the full committee and what you're doing and what your accomplishments are, what your goals are, and your step-by-step successes in whatever goals you're going forward to, and then you have to give that report, okay? So you have to work with other people. You don't have to come together physically to work with the other people on that. You can be doing that online on, you know, Zoom or whatever you want to do it on. But then, you know, you come together on your Monday, on your monthly meeting, and you then produce, you know, then you bring that in, you know, you give the information to the full committee. And then things will be voted on and different things accomplished, and you continue to grow and so on and so forth. So if someone wants all those names, you know, we'll give you all the names with the phone numbers. Now, the other thing is the people who started the committees of safety, this is Broome County, okay? Now, I still have my name in here. I'm probably going to take my name out of here. Warren has taken control as the committee chairman, so he's the contact here in Dutchess County. We have someone in Manhattan. This is a newbie one here. I didn't see this before. Started the committee of safety in Manhattan. Someone in Niagara, Rensselaer County, Suffolk County, and Wayne County, okay? So again, check your state, see if there's a committee of safety started. If there is, connect with the person who started the committee of safety. And you can put two names up here if you want. You got to work this out with the other person, you know. But it really should only be one person, but it could be two. It's all right, I guess, if you want to do that. But whoever is on this list is able to request the names. You'll get the first name, you get the county they live in, and you get the phone number. And then you can start communicating with them. We encourage you to communicate with them, see what they're doing. And we also want to encourage people to help the committee, you know, the counties next door to you, the Career Committees of Safety. Invite people from the other county to come to your Committee of Safety meeting in your county. And tell them, look, you guys need to do this in your county too. Work with us and learn and so on and so forth, and we'll help you, okay? And they'll help another county and another county and another county. You got to work together, because if you don't work together, you don't, can't have government by consent. We have to come to certain conclusions together and put the right people onto the ticket and take control of these people and to recall them, to pull them out of office when they don't do the will of the people. So anyway, yeah, that's how you get the names. Find out, we'll put your name up here and start a committee of safety, start working on it, and make contact with Jen, and he will get you the list of the people, either in certain counties, if you're just requesting certain counties, or the whole state. And again, not a problem, no emails, and not a problem communicating, because we encourage that. This is what it's all about. All right, next question.
That was the last question, John.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, well, our queue is open. Let's see if anybody's in the queue. Yeah, there's one person in the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a star 6 and a 1. And if you're on a phone, if you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button there to get into the queue. I want to spend a couple more minutes before we go into the questions here. Like I said, we only have one person in the queue right now. We have two. Okay. The more the merrier. Keep coming in. But just real quick, go back to the front page here. We've been talking about this for weeks now. And we did the paper redress of grievances to open natural law courts. I made mention last week that we posted this. This is the final paper. You can get up here and read it. I have not posted the letter yet, but I did post this one. You know, again, this is, you can read the paper. I'll put the letter right underneath this also. The letter was written to President Trump and his administration and others. And we sent out about 46 books, I think, all to actually send out more than that, because we sent a couple others to other individuals. But we sent about 46 books out to Trump, his administration, and key individuals around him. Some senators, some congressmen that we know are working for the good of the people, and family members and a few others. So, and that went out, and we filed the papers with the United States Supreme Court, which is that's what this press presentment is, to redress of grievances to open our natural courts. So it's an extraordinary presentment to the Supreme Court of the United States, coming in from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which is the sureties of the peace. And it's against the federal judiciary, which we have already indicted. We have indicted the entire federal judiciary. They're all guilty of the same crime, and that is denial of due process and preventing people from coming into the courts of justice, sticking their nose into the people's business, and putting in summary judgments, overturning jury decisions, all kinds of things and violations, all treason. And the United States Supreme Court clearly has original jurisdiction on this issue. We don't have to go through no trial court, and we're coming in as we the people, which is through the grand jury, and they have to hear it. And we've copied this paper to, again, all the people we send the books to, 46 people, you know, with Trump, his administration, and others around him. So I'm not going to read this, because we have read this already. I think we read, you know, there's been corrections to it since we've read the last one. So, but anyway, this is an extremely important case. Everybody should be educated in this issue. Everybody should read this paper. Get some time, sit down, and read the paper. Either read it on the computer or print it out and read it. But you need to read it, because you need to understand what we're doing and what's going on in the courts. And I don't think that they have much of a choice. They can't hide from this. You know, I copied Joe Rogan on this too. I'm looking to try to get a podcaster who will pick up on this. Joe Rogan's got millions of people, so hopefully he'll pick up on this. But I sent him a book also, And I copied him with this paper, and also the letter we sent to Trump and the others around him, and a personal letter to Joe Rogan, too. I wanted to get one out to Tucker Carlson, but I cannot find his mailing address. I did send him a note. You know, these people, they all do the same thing. You can't even send them an email. You got to go to their website, and you got to put the, you know, your information into their page and send them a message and so on and so forth. And but I did that with Carlson about 4 days, 5 days ago, and haven't heard nothing back yet. If anybody can get his address, I'd appreciate it. I found numerous addresses, but I don't think any of them are good anymore. You know, from reading other places and trying to figure things out. But if anybody could figure his mailing address, I'll send him a book and a copy of the paper that we sent into the Supreme Court. We got to get traction on this. We got to get people to know about this. We got to get this out into the public. Particularly, we got to get it out into the good guys that are in office, whomever they may be. If anybody can make contacts with podcasters, you know, we need to get connect with podcasters, because that's how we get our information out to more people, to bring an understanding of what it is that we're doing, how to have government by consent, and the necessity of a proper education. You know, one of the other things that National Liberty Alliance wants to do, but we don't have the funding to do it, is to take our all of our books that we've got here. So we've got 14 books, okay? Four of them are major books. The rest of them are, so 10 of them are handbooks. But we have to turn them into a curriculum going from K through 12. Okay, and, you know, Brent Allen Winter is willing to work with me on this. He's written books, and together, you know, him and myself, and maybe some others that we can connect with, and other authors, and also work with NCCS. We're going to try to approach them, but it's too premature to approach them at the moment. We need funding first. But that's another thing in L.A. would like to do, is get into our schools a proper education, because our schools are creating nothing but morons. These people, these children coming out, they don't even know on a map, on college level, don't even know on a map to find the United States of America. Go figure that out. How can it be someone went to college and is going to college and is shown a map without any names of what these places are and say, where's the United States of America? They can't find it on a map. That's pretty sad. It's pretty sick. But that's what we have. We don't have a proper education. And if we don't have a proper education in our school, then we're not going to have America in the future. Because America's future is in our children. They're the next step up to take control and to do things. We need to get them involved in committees of safety. We need to teach them in school that they need to get involved with committees of safety. We need to teach them more than civics. We need to teach them American history. We need to teach them that we're a Christian nation. And we need to teach them what common law is and where it comes from. We need to teach them how to be Americans, real Americans, true Americans. And believe me, we are not, or haven't been, true Americans. And you'll never be a true American until you get a proper education. Because you don't know what your liberty is, and you don't know how to protect it, and you don't know how to stop these people from destroying it. You don't know how to get rid of these people. You don't know how to take our courts back. You know? So, anyway, this is what we got to do. All right, anyway, that paper's up there to be read. I hope everybody reads it, and hopefully get the word out. Send this paper out. A lot of people here are on different social medias. I don't go to social media. I haven't got time for it, and I really just don't have time, so I don't go to them. But a lot of people are on social media. Share this paper on social media. You know, get it out there. Share it with podcasters. Get them. You send them to National Liberty Alliance to make a connection. All they have to do is go up to the directory, and they can find all our contact information. And they can contact us, and they can interview us, and we get the message out. So let's get involved here. Okay, with that, we'll take our first caller. Let's see, it looks like Estelle, maybe? Let's see if I can get this going here. Okay, 202 number, it looks like Estelle, E-S-T-E-L-L. What state you're from, and is that your name? You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much. My name is Esther. I'm very new to this forum. I got the information from my brother, who is incarcerated, and he had some questions. I went to the website and registered and tried to contact someone on the Maryland site, but to no avail. So he had some questions. He was unconstitutionally prosecuted under the 18 USC, and he needs assistance in filing remedy with the common law court seeking immediate release. And he needs a co-counsel, that is the next friend, to assist him with court proceedings in Maryland in the federal district court. So we wanted to find out if it's something that you can help with, what is the process, what we need to do, and what is the success rate, how can we contact you guys, how can we get involved.
Okay. A couple of things. Again, things take time. It's going to take time to do. One of the things we're working on, again, that's what this paper was all about, which is the redress of grievances to open up our natural law courts, which was closed down by the Rules Enabling Act, and that's what we're looking for, the overturning of that and numerous other conclusions at the end of this case. We want them to make declarations, which become orders down to all the lower courts to open the courts of justice up and step aside and let the people have their courts of record. And no judges belong in those courts. But I will tell you, and this is a huge, huge problem. I don't even know how it's going to be dealt with. Maybe it'll be dealt with because of ignorance, and most people will remain ignorant for a long time, and it'll maybe take a long time for this to kind of acclimate through throughout America, so all the people are in jail. But let me tell you something. When you really think about it, there hasn't been a lawful court in this country since 1938. There has not been a court of law. So therefore, everybody that's in jail is there unlawfully. Ultimately, that is the problem we have. I don't know how we're going to deal with all of it. I mean, we could probably very quickly come to the realization that most people don't belong in jail anyway, because none of them are really violent. The problem is also, it's all about money, putting people in jail and making money off of these people, okay? And so there's lots of money to go to conviction for lawyers and judges. There's lots of money to go into the prisons and to incarcerate people and go through all this stuff. But guess who doesn't do the money? The person who was in the injured party. Therein is the problem. The injured party is never, ever, taken care of. They don't get restored. There is no restoration for them. But that's what has to be done, is people need to be restored. But I do believe, for instance, the county jails, they all have to be emptied out. I don't know that there's one person in there. They could have done, by the way, we have a lot of, can you look future mic as we talk there just now, because we're getting feedback? Hang on. You got your mic muted? Okay, that's better. The people that are in county jail, I don't know that there's one person in there that's there lawfully. Because most of these people, if not all of them, okay, but most of them anyway, were put there through town courts and village courts. And they are not courts of record. They have no power or authority to make any decision in law whatsoever. So there aren't even courts that can even open a court of record. So that's a problem right there. And I'm sure there are a lot of people in jail that probably do belong there. So again, therein is a major problem. On a federal level, most people in jail on a federal level don't belong there, because a lot of them are put in their armed charges, which they have no business going after people because they have weapons and they maybe cross the state line, whatever the case may be. You know, the federal government has no business dealing with putting people in jail for that purpose. And we've seen a lot of people go to jail for that. The IRS has put tremendous numbers of people into jail. Nobody belongs in jail for that. That's a debtor's prison. Why doesn't America wake up? It's a debtor's prison. Debtor's prison is against the law pretty much everywhere. Except America, will put you in jail if you owe the government money. Well, not even owe the government, the private company, that private court called the Federal Reserve, not court, that private bank called the Federal Reserve, owned by foreigners, Yeah, I'm sure there's Americans too, but owned by foreigners, okay? And they're responsible putting tons and tons of people in jail. None of them belong in jail. It's a debtor's prison. How come we don't wake up and realize that? We got to wake up and deal with this. Okay, anyway, going back to what you can do, okay? And again, it's going to take time. It requires an education. I don't know of anybody that I can refer you to particularly. I refer people sometimes to Brent, but Brent is busy. And again, he's not all over the planet, so he has problems too. And sometimes he can't work in courts because he's not a bar attorney either. But he does have a law degree, and from a state that didn't require the bar, so he can go into court and represent people in his state, and various other states that do the same. But most states are not the same, and the federal level could be problematic. But I don't know. So the only way you're really going to beat this, because if you go get yourself a lawyer, they're just going to do the lawyer thing. They just want your money. They don't care whether you win the case or not. They just want your money and just absorb it by spending time in the courts as much as possible until you're broke. Most people can't afford it's not even justice, but let's call it justice. Nobody can afford justice. Not that that is justice, because it's not. So that's a problem. So the only way you really do this is to go in by yourself and represent, take care of your own business. You're not representing yourself. You're coming in personam, in your own person. And you're going to take care of your own lawful business. But you have to have a court of justice to do that. Until we get that, I don't see much getting done. I mean, you could try a habeas corpus, but they don't even respond to that. That, again, is treason again. And we've got over 100 habeas corpuses that we filed, and we don't know that any of them. We only will know that one got through, but even that one doubtfully was recorded in the courts as a habeas corpus to let this person out. So at least from the sounding of what that person told us, it sounds like it's not recorded in the courts. So, habeas corpus is no more. There is no habeas corpus in America, by the way. I don't know how many people realize that. No habeas corpus here. And that is due process at the ultimate level. So how are you going to do this? The only way you could do this is we created a course, okay? And it takes time and really focus and desire to be good at what you want to do with this. Anybody could take this course and be, you know, at least understand things, and then you can hire a lawyer. And you may understand enough to direct the lawyer and be involved in the paperwork to make sure it's done in a common law way. But anyway, under Education Starts Here, you can come down to Court Access in the Common Law. You click on that, and you can take this course. This course is a $125 course. We give you the first, you read all the information about this course, but we give you the first 3 hours of the course. You can watch it, and it'll help you make a decision whether you want to take this course or not. So that's one thing you want to do. Meanwhile, you want to read. What do you want to read? You want to read court cases, and you want to read good court cases. You want to read United States Supreme Court court cases, especially the older ones, Marbury versus Madison, for instance, U.S. versus Williams. These are very important court cases to read, because not only is it going to teach you the law and how due process works and the powers and the authorities of the people, and your sovereignty. Not only does it do that, but it teaches you to write, okay? And we've written tremendous number of cases. You can go to federal court cases right here and just click on that. And these are cases that we have filed, all kinds of paperwork and everything. You can come in here, and we did an action against the judiciary, okay? Read those cases. And you'll see how we work with footnotes and being very specific on what we mean when we write a paper and how to write a paper. You write a paper, you keep it clean, you keep it minimum, you keep it focused. You made certain conclusions, and then you attach a memorandum. You refer to a memorandum to expound on the law concerning that conclusion. Okay, and this keeps a nice clean paper going through. And you've got all these memorandums attached to document the truth and the facts of what you laid out as law that has to be applied by the courts. Okay? We in our court course we have a download there called, what did we call it? How come I can't think of the name of it? Let me take a real quick look, because I keep in my own. Let's see. Where is that? Oh, okay, footnotes and quotes. I don't know why I couldn't think of that, but that's what it's called. We have a download in our course called Footnotes and Quotes. Tremendous amounts of information on court cases and conclusions. I mean, just a lot of stuff. You can download that. It comes down in a zip file, okay? And when you open it up, it's topical, okay? So if you once you open it up, you'll see the topics. For instance, what is a bill of attainder, bill of information, the difference between a complaint and an action, what is estoppel, full faith and credit, injury, different injuries, remedies, rights. What is our sovereign right? Who are we as a people? You know, all those things are answered in these footnotes so that when you're responding to these, the other side, depending on who you're dealing with, of course, especially if you're going up against the government or the establishment, government agencies, and there's a lot of this stuff really is powerful to use. But in any case, to keep the court case focused as a common law court, there's a lot of things, words you want to use in there, and you want to give the meanings of those words. You want to document those words, what authority they come by. So anyway, that's what the course will teach you, a lot of that. It gives an overview of the common law in itself, which is real simple. See, common law is really, really simple because I can explain it in two words. Common law is common sense. Doesn't get any difficult than that. Common sense, something people agree with quickly and easily, built by maxims. You know, Blackstone has a book of maxims. There's other people have books of maxims. There are thousands of maxims and millions yet to be discovered. Just think about that, because it's all common sense. It's logic. And it comes from the heart, because remember, God told us in the New Testament side of things, He put the law into the heart. So every person knows the law in their heart. They know when they injure somebody, stealing, killing, and so on. Everybody know, and the people know how they can fix that, restore that individual. And of course, it's with money. I mean, what other way are you going to fix it? Of course, if they're in jail, getting them out of jail. But you got to give them a lot of money, too, because they've done a lot of suffering. Somehow you got to restore that individual. And people can figure that out. It's called common sense. It's common law. It's coming from the heart. You know what's just and unjust, and it's that simple. So law is not complex. What you just have to learn is what due process is and how the court system works and how it's structured. And how to file a case in the federal courts. I wrote a book also on understanding the federal courts. You can go up and get that book. It's not expensive. We put them as cheap as possible. So that's where you want to go. You want to get educated. That's the only place I know you can get educated. I don't know anyone teaching what we're teaching. And you read, and then you come into court. And again, we have some examples in the course. We have some examples on the website. We have examples on how to deal with different kinds of cases. Okay, underneath Education Starts Here, come to law, and you go to court forms and process. And how to do a habeas corpus, you can start off with that. But you got to learn the structure of the courts. You got to learn the forms and the process, how due process works, and then apply your common law logic to it with the facts, and that's how you build a case. It is, it sounds complex, but it really isn't. But it does take time to put it together, and the hardest part is writing the papers, because I read the papers that I wrote in the very beginning, and they're almost like a child wrote it. I mean, it's just I was really no knowledge at all, But I've read other people's papers who have no knowledge, and I see they don't understand either. They're not expressing themselves properly. They're not using the right lingo, the right words. They're not bringing in the maxims necessary to give it the bite, and the Supreme Court rulings, that the good ones, the good Supreme Court rulings that were made. So they need to bring all that together. That takes time, and that's through reading. And I'll tell you what, you read the books, you read the cases we wrote, you read the Supreme Court cases we suggest for you to read, you read a lot of opinions from the Supreme Court, and all connected with the courts, and you could be very good at dealing in the courts and taking control of your own case and win it. But you have to have a court of justice, and that's not there yet. We're working on that. Hopefully soon. We're going to see. The papers just went out. Supreme Court will receive it tomorrow on the 3rd, and Trump and Bondi and all the other people around Trump in his administration, they're all going to receive the book and the paper to the United States Supreme Court, which is a presentment on the 4th. So everything is hitting them this week, and we'll see what happens with that. You know? All right, that's the best I can tell you, Estelle.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take our next person here. It looks like Tony from PA, you got the mic.
Yes. Hello, John. It's Tony.
How you doing?
So I was writing as much down as I can tonight on the information, like the questions and everything.
This is recorded, so you can let me show you where you can view this. I usually get it up at night. If you go into today's issues and you come down to NLA Monday Open Forum videos, you click on that, okay, and you'll get the video of this tonight's meeting and everything we got. So we have it all recorded, and you get the older ones too. Or if you want to do an MP3, okay, you can go to Monday.
That's too much for me.
That's just audio. If you want to do audio,
yeah,
we have audio, or you can find that on the Monday call. Night call. We have all the audios. This tonight's will be posted up here, and this is the latest going back.
Right. So it was like two questions again. I have to ask is one is you said ALJ, and I was able to write administrative law, or is it legal justices?
No, well, there's nothing legal about that. Now, administrative law is equity. Equity is legislative law. Legislative law in America, under our Constitution, legislative law is for commercial, in particular federal level, interstate commercial activities. We gave them the authority under Article 1, Section 8 to write law for that purpose. We gave them the ability to write law to govern all of the different government agencies. There are 57 different codes up there, a lot of information. I mean, that's in a law in itself, and it governs our government, and all the different agencies within our government. Every agency is under regulation, statutes, and so on. And what they did, though, unfortunately, is they brought equity together with common law, which is common law, which is a convenient way for them to talk to ignorant people, because people don't really understand that when they combined it, what they're saying to you is we're legislating law for you. Instead of God's law, which is what common law is, common law of the heart and with a focus on justice, okay? Well, instead of God's law, you're now under man's law. So they said they brought law and they brought equity together, but what they're not telling you is they called it civil law. And they've got to tell you, now you brought under our thumb. We will tell you who you are. We will decide what kind of liberty we'll give you in a court of law, or if we'll give you anything. We may even decide to get rid of free speech, as they've been trying to do. We may decide to get rid of your Second Amendment right to protect yourself against us. We don't want you to have guns so you can protect yourself against us. And they've already taken that one away almost. I mean, it's
so today. I got a letter notice today about Pennsylvania is trying to do that. There was a bill that's being presented, and they wanted us to, sign the petition again for our 2A here in Pennsylvania. But
and that is to take your weapons or what?
Take away. I didn't read the whole thing because okay. One thing is I just wanted to let you know I read so many of your books. And then I'm a slow reader, and I'm trying to comprehend everything. You do write.
I'm a slow reader, too. Very, very slow.
Yeah. But I also read backwards again, you know, so I can return it back to me. I reread, I mean. So it's kind of like it takes me a long time to read the book, and then I'm sitting here watching your video, some of them. And the other night, I just kind of went to bed, and all I could see is the computer screen in my brain. And I feel like I'm taking in, like it's just coming in, but it's not computing anymore.
Let me tell you something I learned a while back, okay? Because,
okay.
You know, I didn't do much schooling. I'm self-educated. And in many, many different fields, totally out of books. But I'm a very slow reader. But I learned a long time ago, and I don't know if someone told me this or I just figured it out or whatever. And I know others have come to the same conclusion. If you don't have to remember anything. The only thing you have to do is understand it. You don't pass one word. You don't pass one phrase. You don't pass one sentence. If you don't understand it, you stop, and if you have to spend an hour on that, you have to go into the dictionary, and then you have to look for examples, or whatever it is you got to do to understand that word, that phrase, or that sentence, and eventually that paragraph. Ultimately, it goes into the computer. And, you know, I talk, and I'm kind of surprised these things just kind of fall out of my mouth the way they do, but that's because I've been filling my brain with all this stuff. And so it's not a real big struggle. If you really just understanding things, don't try to memorize. One of the big problems I had when I went to school, and really big struggles, because I tried to memorize things, you know, and I just couldn't do it, you know.
Well, that's all they got our children doing now is memorize it, take the test, go to the next. So it's not like they're retaining the information. So
we don't want to teach them what to think. We want to teach them how to think. And that's all kind of
another. And another thing, you said something, the NCCS. What is that?
Well, the NCCS is an organization. It's a website, and they sell these handbooks, the constitutional handbooks to begin with, but they sell a lot of great books out there. So it's the National Center for a Constitution. Constitutional Studies, is that it?
What is it
all together again? Say it, Jan, if you remember. National. After watching their own city and temple burn. I'm looking it up right now to see if I can get it right.
Here. I guess it could be National Constitutional Center Studies, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. And the website is actually NCCS, I think, .org. Does anybody know, Terry, you probably know the answer to this, or Jan? Let's see. Yeah, it's the National Center for Constitutional Studies, so it's NCCS, and it's .net.
.net, okay.
Now, this is a great website for education. Unbelievable.
I tell people about yours, so...
They got great books. They got the 5,000 Year Leap. I bought, and you get these books dirt cheap. They print them. They've written them, published them, and print them themselves. So they had the 5,000 Year Leap. I bought that book. What a great book that is. Okay.
5,000 what?
The 5,000 Year Leap. Okay. You got to read that book. It's an American story. Now, the other thing is they got The Making of America, great, great history book.
I think I got that one.
Lays out, you know, how America came to be and the history. Great, great book. There's numerous other books, great books also. The Real Thomas Jefferson, The Real Benjamin Franklin, The Real George Washington. And these books are all written from the things that taken place in his days, whether it was in the news or whether there was interviews, whether it were letters. And they did a lot of letter writing back and forth. They communicated through letters all the time.
Yeah.
That was the big form of communications. And this is what these books are brought together on. And also interviews of different people about people, okay? For instance, the headmaster slave in Jefferson's home, he was interviewed, okay? And what an interview he gave, okay?
Wow.
And by the way, Jefferson never bought a slave in his life, never sold a slave in his life. He inherited every one of them. He had no choice but to receive them, wanted to liberate them, but it was illegal to liberate them in Virginia. He became governor. He was a legislator twice and tried to introduce legislation to be able to at least, set a slave free, and that never went through. He became governor and again tried to do something for the slaves. He wrote the Declaration of Independence, and again, all men are created equal. So a lot of people don't understand that Jefferson was born into a situation and he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He refused to sell his slaves because, they'd be abused. He didn't know who they were going to, and he inherited every one of them, never bought one. So, anyway.
And the last thing then, so you showed us how to get to the directory and then, the list of people. Who do I ask? I ask Jan for any of the people in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania?
Well, yeah, you can send an email to Jan at nationalist.org and request that. And let them know that you're calling, but your county needs to be registered as the beginning.
It is registered. Do I register with you when you're on this site or what? Other than that,
come up to the directory. Okay, click on the directory, and it tells you, gives you information on how.
Yeah, I'm there. My name is on there.
Your county committee of safety here, right there.
Okay.
And then when you go and register it, or you might want to go and change the name on it, and whatever the case may be, you can do it to this area here. And then that person will show up on the list of committees of safety in that state. What state is this? This is Alabama. There's 200 people, 67 counties, and they got 3 committees of safety in process.
Okay. Pennsylvania, we're growing.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, I think, has got a lot of members. Let's take a look at Pennsylvania.
Well, the one thing I wanted to know was because Anna Von Wright, I was one of the questions in the beginning about
Anna
the Pennsylvania. Yeah, she created the Pennsylvania Assembly. But I don't know if and how it's registered with the county or with the state or what. How do we create a Pennsylvania Assembly?
You don't register yourself with the government. You don't go to ask permission for anything. You just do it. Now, you may register it in your county to put it onto the county record that in a county
has
started, and then you give them your resolution, your resolutions and your charter, and you file that. That's what we're going to be doing here in Dutchess County soon, is we'll do that filing. And then you take care of business. Remember, you don't owe them nothing. You don't have to tell them anything. It's none of their business what you're doing. What their business is to obey what you decide to do, because you're the people. That's what committees of safety are all about, is to make people obey the law that's in power and authority, okay? And also to do all the other things. There's a lot of things involved. Committees of safety is supposed to solve every problem within the county that people bring in, and they need to find a way, a solution for them. And a lot of solutions are set forth already in what we put together. But there'll be always things that'll come up and say, oh, we'll have to create a committee for that. And maybe it'll be a committee for a period of time until you solve the problem and then get rid of that committee. And, I don't know, people will got to figure all that out themselves,
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, so anyway, in Pennsylvania, you got 547 people there. Okay. Anything else? Or we move to the next.
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay, we'll take our next caller, Francine from New York. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, I might have fallen asleep last time. I was waiting, but I
okay.
I apologize. But anyway, so regarding the bar.
Yeah.
I thought I heard something that Trump was trying to deal with that.
Yes. He wants to stop the bar requirements. First of all, look at, you have the Federalist out there. That Federalist was created, the Federalist Society, okay? Any society is a problem to begin with, okay? But they got the Federalist Society. That was created in 1950, I believe, or 51. Okay. And one of the things that Federalist Society, what they believe to begin with, is that the Constitution was meant to be written we the states and not we the people. Okay? That's the major flaw. From there on, you could see they're the enemy. The Federalists were the problem. It was the first political party were the Federalists, and it was the one that Jefferson was dealing with and Washington was dealing with. They were such a problem, destroying everything that they were trying to build. Okay? And they got involved in the debates. They had the Federalists, and that's why the Anti-Federalists were important to have that papers, the Anti-Federalist papers, to be read also to deal with these people. And it's not that they were Anti-Federalist in the sense that a Federalist, the meaning of Federalist really was people wanted to have a federal government. And Jefferson, when Jefferson became president, he said, you know, trying to bring people back together and stop the factions, just fractioning everything up, just destroying everything. And when he became president, he said, we're all Federalists, we're all Republicans. And then what did they do? They used his words, Republican, and they started a Republican Party, and it just became parties. I mean, I don't know if the Republican Party really existed back in those days, but it was talked about as being a group of people. And the Republican Party actually, I think, started in right before Lincoln became president. But in any event, okay, they were, you know, the parties were a problem, of course, and they have to be dealt with, and we have to get rid of them. But let me go back to, what was your question or your point, because I lost my train of thought.
Well, my point was simply that I think Trump is dealing with the bar.
Oh, yeah, let me finish that, the Federalist. Okay, so what he did is he said to, unless the Federalist Society approves a bar member judge, they don't become a judge. Okay, and the bar is extremely involved with that also. The bar has to approve you. So you have to, in order to be a judge, you have to be approved by the Federalist, okay, who believe that it should have been we the states and not we the people. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other problems with them. I just don't know what they are because I never looked too deep into it.
But he makes most of it.
Yeah, he wants to stop it, okay?
Yeah.
So maybe he's reading our papers.
And also your advice to the woman, Estelle, and to others who are calling on behalf of someone who's maybe improperly incarcerated, you go through all this stuff and they say, well, but you need a court of record, and then there's no court of record. So it's like, it almost is like you go through all this stuff, but you can't even bring it to a court of record.
They don't exist.
So they don't exist. So in other words, you do all this stuff, and yeah, at best you have it on file, but it doesn't really handle the situation in the moment. So, like...
Well, it does bug them a little bit, so...
It does what?
It bugs them a little bit. Especially on the federal level, because the federal level seems to understand what you're talking about.
Exactly. So you would have to elevate, is what I'm saying. You have to do all that, and then just basically know you can fail below.
The United States Supreme Court understands everything that I'm talking about, and now it's going to be up to them because we.
Yeah, but they don't even hear everything, so you know.
They can't hear everything anyway. There's too many cases to be able to be heard. There's like, I heard like 3,000 cases a year, maybe more, and they can only hear about 250 roughly that they can hear.
So that's the problem.
But I will tell you, I do believe that there's a lot of cases that go up to the Supreme Court that have no business going to the Supreme Court and doesn't need to be decided by the Supreme Court. Lawyers may think they need to be, but it doesn't. Okay? You take the case we put up, okay? They really don't have a choice. How can they deny logic? Okay? They don't have a choice. The law was shut down in America. You know, there is no more law courts. They don't exist.
This gets to my other point. We have a system that is so incredibly broken, which you've acknowledged. It's so bad. Mm-hmm. So by Trump dealing with the bar, I mean, we have to shatter this system. Because if we work within the system, which is what you're saying, do this, and that's all proper. And then you start out by saying, I'm not here as you know, and then your capital letters. I'm here as myself. I'm here as an appearance.
I just use all the right words to come in, and I understand their game plan. I understand what they mean.
So that would be the first.
And they try to change my paper, which is called an action to a complaint, and they've tried that.
Right.
And they understand what they're doing, obviously, and I understand what they're doing, and I don't let them get away with it.
Right. So that would be the first step, is because you want to get into the right court, because you could do all the right things, but if you're in the wrong court, you're still going to lose. Like you said, it's stacked against
you.
Right.
But here's the thing. Look, at everything that I do from now on in, and it's been for quite a while this way anyway, it's for the future and not for now. I already know I'm going to lose every case I go in on, because they're too corrupt and they can't afford to let me win anything, all right? So we can't, we're not there to win the case. We're there to set the record straight, to show the conspiracy, okay? Because what they do in New York on the federal level, and what they do in California and Montana and Texas and New Jersey and Maine and whatever state you want, okay, every federal court does the same thing. They break the same law. They use the same words. Everything is the same. And what does that prove? That proves conspiracy. And
well,
so that's what we changed our paperwork into, is to prove conspiracy, number one. The other thing is to create a case that could be resurrected when we can open a court of justice, because the moment a court of justice opens up, I got a whole bunch of cases to be moved into there.
Right. Well, yeah. So, for example, I was watching a thing on YouTube of a case where, long story short, this guy was in a rental car. A thing goes over the police to look out for a car that had outstanding Easy Pass tickets, that the toll tickets, and it was the rental car that he was driving that his girlfriend got.
Oh, yeah. You heard about that. Yeah.
You heard about that. Right. So the cop steps on his the thing, like, you know, where you step up into the car, when and the guy starts driving and he tells him to stop, so he shoots him.
Yeah,
and it was a horrible thing. And then they wanted to the parents sued for the death of the son, and the ruling was that no, the police didn't do anything wrong, because the way the law reads now, it's only for the moments that go up to the killing. And so if the police thought he was in danger, then he's off the hook.
Well, the cop was not in danger, obviously. I saw the video myself. He had no business putting the gun out on a traffic
thing. So they said they had to consider the fact that he didn't have to step on the thing and continue with the car.
Well, I'll tell you what. That case could be easily opened up when the courts of justice come back. You see, there's going to be so many problems, okay? And it's going to be overburdening, because all these cases that have to be retried, a lot of them can't be retried. We may end up having to set free people that don't need to be set, don't belong.
Well, that's it. That's why it's an overarching, like something with Trump, with the bar, because the system supports it. For instance, you say, oh, they don't have the right to do a summary judgment of someone. Well, guess what? There's the bailiff right over there with the cuffs ready to put them on you and drag you away. So in other words, they don't have that authority, but there's a whole system that supports it. So it has to be cut at the head. And so I do hope that what Trump is doing will put a big nail in that coffin. So that's the first thing I want to, you know,
You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Bundy case. And
the two brothers?
Well, there's, yeah, the brothers, and they were tried up in Washington, state of Washington. And in that case, when they beat the case, a lot of them folded and they took the deal, and the Bundys didn't, but and some others, and they beat the case, and then the judge refused to set them free because he felt that there was a requirement for them in another state. But there was nothing on paper, okay? There was nothing filed with any courts, so he should have, and a lawyer got up and was making the case that he got to set them free, and they tased the lawyer right there in the courtroom, okay?
Well, I think the lawyer has a case now.
People who haven't been in court, they have no clue on how bad it is. We need to take this nation back, people. Everybody needs to get up and do something. If you don't do something, then we deserve what we get. And if we don't teach our children how to maintain and take control of this, we deserve everything we get.
Yes.
You have to do something.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, you know, like when, and I'm glad in a way, you know, what is it, who did the war room, who's the guy that did the war room, Bannon,
Bannon,
and
yeah.
Stephen, right, and Stephen, and they came out saying, and also that guy that worked with Alex Jones, they came out, you know, from their own prison experience, and they said there has to be prison reform, because it is ridiculous, and yes, it is a money-making machine, as well as if you don't make it to jail, and you're just getting tickets, it's also a money-making scheme. Now, the other thing I want to ask you, kind of also like on a biblical level, please. Jesus taught we have to pay taxes, right? He made the case with Simon. Does the son have to pay taxes, or does the slave have to pay taxes in the household, in the family?
Well, what Jesus says is give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, okay? And but when they take our money, you know, Caesar has no right to that, in the sense, you know, figuratively speaking, when they take our money from our labor, because first of all, it is called direct tax. It's written in our Constitution. Now, legal tax you have to pay. Okay, now you can avoid any tax you want. You just don't buy the item. You know, one of the biggest taxes is sales tax. Okay, so I mean, government. Also, it doesn't belong to Caesar, okay? So, you know, paying the tax on the things that are necessary to run the government is okay, and there's lawful tax and there's unlawful tax. And then the question becomes, and I've known this for many, many, many years, okay? Every dollar that these people take, when you think you're paying something into the government to have some kind of service, when you pay, quote-unquote, income tax, whether it's state or federal, all you're doing is paying for the destruction of America. And if you watch to see Doge did, okay, it proves the point, okay? They've been taking this money and just wasting it. And really, a lot of it funnels right back. It's just you know, washing the money, so
okay,
to speak.
But I want to get to something. Okay, in general, you know, the body of Christ is kind of called on. This is the way I'm taking. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, you're called on to not offend. Okay, not just give Caesar what's Caesar. That's another scripture. But just in the scripture where Paul is approached by the tax man. Does your master not pay taxes? Goes and tells Jesus. Jesus says, go to fish, get it from the fish, pay this for you and for me. But before he does that, he says, does the son pay the taxes, or does the slave in the house pay the taxes? No, the son. Okay, this is the kingdom of God. I'm the king. I shouldn't have to pay taxes. The people with me should have to pay taxes. Blah, blah, blah. But so as not to offend, go give the money. Okay? Now, my point is this. Jesus established, as not to offend, go pay the taxes. My problem is with, okay, that's, you know, he wants to teach him, you know, don't offend. We know who we are. We're children of the king. No big deal. God will provide. Go pay what they want. Let's say that's the lesson. Okay, at least that's how I'm taking it. The problem is we do that here on earth. We do that, you know, post-Jesus. And tyrants being what they are, they say, oh, well, they gave us X amount of taxes. Let's tax them more and more and more and more and more and take away their jobs, take away their business, take away their industries, but keep taxing them, keep taxing them, keep taxing them. And you keep doing it to not offend. And then you're faced with what Jesus never did was, the only thing he ever got aggressive about was the teachers, the Pharisees and the bankers, who took advantage. You know, and we're talking very careful with our righteous anger, because we can get angry and then call it righteous anger. So my question is, a lot of what happened this last 4 or 5 years, a lot of what happened with me this last 4 or 5 years was like being of the mindset that, like, you know what, I see wrong and I'm going to be one of those people that's going to stand up, and then getting completely beaten up. and then like my thought like was, standing up in the laws, but if you can't get a court of record, you're kind of screwed. If you even win, they might tease your lawyer. I mean, there has to be a better way. I mean, even biblically, what I'm saying, even biblically, it seems to support, just leave it to God. He's going to do it, you know, just don't offend, just, you know. When do you stand up?
Well, look, could you stand up when something is right and just? Let's start off from the beginning, okay? First of all, God gave man dominion over the creation. Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 2, actually. Genesis chapter 2, he gave man dominion, okay? So we have the authority. We picked up on that authority twice in history, okay? Once in Israel, 1600 B.C., and the second time in 1776 through the Declaration of Independence, which clearly states we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God, and that we have government by the consent of the people. We have unalienable rights. We have unalienable rights. All this was laid out in the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of our law. It's the foundation of
our taxation without representation.
On that was built the Constitution. And on the Constitution, built upon the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation, the law of America, now you have the powers and the authorities. By who? We have government by the consent of the people, established right in the Declaration of Independence. We the people, in the preamble, we the people ordained and established this Constitution. So who is the government? We are self-government. We're not a democracy where we elect people to send them to represent us and to off the fly make up these things and what they think that they should do. And of course, they do the things that special interest groups want them to do because it's filling their pockets with the payola, you know. So we have all those problems going on. Those are the crooks. Those are the people that are pushing these things. Okay, income tax wasn't around until after World War One. Okay, right. It was coming into World War II when income tax came about.
It was introduced very deceitfully because, again, we were founded on no taxation without representation.
Right, but the thing is this. It's a government that it is a group of people that have taken control of our government, the controls of our government, and that's because of our ignorance to begin with, okay? It's partially they planned this whole thing. They didn't want us to become educated. But we became complacent. We became ignorant. And today, people are refusing to get educated. They are just refusing to do it.
You believe that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, whatever it is. But the bottom line, our Constitution is we the people. We sent them to do a job. When we elected people, let's take the our representatives in Washington. We gave them 18 powers, okay? You work on these 18 powers, and of those 18 powers has nothing to do with any control over we the people. We the people are free and independent, we're sovereign, we are the lawmakers, and when we go into the courts, we'll tell you what the law is, and we'll declare it. The jury will make the decision on what the law is, and that'll be that. And it cannot be overturned, okay? That's a fact.
Okay, so like I said, it has to be. It can't be one by one, or it can be, but it'll be like one by one illegal. You got to do a sweeping representative kind of thing. Like if there are like hundreds and hundreds of cases that are basically the same kind of case, but they handle them the same way in a very unfair way, just make a ruling of that and release them. Okay, so you're going to need. Again, that top down, you're going to need Trump to establish it. And then you're going to need organizations say, no, we're not going to apply. Well, first of all, here's your 18 places where you have authority. And if anything falls outside of that, it's going to be dismissed. And everything that has fallen outside of that gets dismissed immediately. We don't have to retry.
Somebody's going to do that. That's our job to do, and we need to be doing it. And again, you can't do it unless you become educated and understand that it's your power and authority to do that, to understand that you are the sovereign, to understand that you are the lawmaker, you ordained, you established the Constitution for them, and you told them what they can do. Okay?
So that's on a local level for the new stuff. What about correcting the old stuff?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, you know, the Republic Review is really working on that particular problem, and I think they're going to be successful once we can get things straightened up. So their idea is to go back and look at all the law concerning anything that has to do with We the People and get rid of all the stuff that's unlawful. And it's a pretty simple job, ultimately. Well, as far as the problems where they took more powers and in governing us, that kind of a power, that, again, the Republican Review will work on. But anything that has to do with We the People is called civil law. It's null and void. It's done with. Okay. What people need to understand is that judges aren't permitted in a court of law. People don't realize that. Judges are not permitted in a court of law. That's the people's court. We have a jury. You have a magistrate. All judges are magistrates.
So all those judges have to be summarily fired, removed from post.
I think they all have to be in jail, and I think some of them should be hung.
Okay, fine, but what I'm saying is they have to immediately vacate those benches.
We already told, we are told Bondi that. That's why we indicted the entire federal judiciary. They have to go. We told them they have to go. And we also have to resurrect the 13th Amendment. You know, what justice would we really have if we only do half the job and pick and choose on what we want to bring back and what we don't want to bring back? We just become the same problem.
Sits up there. Her clerk is going to be down below. The bailiff is going to be there. The security guy ready to handcuff the poor innocent person who's just there being trapped in the system. It's the jail that they're going to be dragged down to is all there. The electricity is being paid. Blah, blah, blah. That the system has to be broken.
Yes.
Because fighting in this minutia, that for a system that's a failed system with the cards stacked against us, it's
give us a court of law. Give us a court of law, we'll fix all these problems.
But how, that's what I'm saying.
What was that?
I would think it has to come top down.
No, it's got to come bottom up. Okay?
Well, at least both.
Which we really are the top, okay? But nevertheless, it's got to come from... Give us a just court, a judge...
But how are we going to get that
Because you remove the judges from the courts that don't belong in the courts. Judges do not belong in a court. When a judge comes...
How do you get them removed?
The law. Listen. And after this, we've got to move on because we're running short with a few people in the queue. But listen, okay? We have to open up courts of justice. How do we open up courts of justice? We have to get rid of the Rules Enabling Act. Once the Rules Enabling Act is done away with, and if you go read the paper, again, on our front page, let me just open back to the front page here. You'll open up the brief on the front page. Okay, go through this and read. And the bottom line is that what we're telling them, what they have to do. We're not asking them to do anything. Let me give you the conclusion of the order here, okay? Because when we win this, we win back everything. It may take a little time, but we win everything back. Okay, we, the sureties of the peace, on behalf of all the sovereign people of the United States, command, we're not asking, command the United States Supreme Court to obey the law of the land and declare the following findings to force all courts to open our courts of record. Declare natural law the law of the land. Nullify 28 U.S.C. subsection 2072, that's the Rules Enabling Act. Nullify it. Nullify the federal rules of criminal and civil procedures. Look, at even on the equity side of things, it has always been, until the Rules Enabling Act, it has been the rules of common law that has governed equity, because that too has to be under common law. Nullify the federal rules of evidence. Nullify chancery courts, which the entire nation is full of chancery courts. Whenever you have a judge in there ruling on civil law, that's a chancery court. It's only a matter of time if, as these things go on and you're found guilty of something and they don't like you and they want to get rid of you, they'll execute the judgment right then and there. One man with a cape and his little hammer on the desk will send you out and put a bullet in your head. It's over. There's no coming back to
this thing that Trump is doing. How can it affect that?
Well, let me finish reading this, okay? Nullify federal rules of evidence. Nullify chancery courts. Acknowledge the rules of common law for the court of record. Acknowledge the rules of common law for equity courts. Open our courts of justice, also known as court of records. Declare summary judgments in court of record null and void. Acknowledge that proof of jurisdiction must appear on the record. Okay, if we get that, if that's what we get, we go into a court of law, they don't get to decide anything. It's the people that we have to convince.
That's it.
And
the
decision in a court of record by a jury is unbreakable. Even the United States Supreme Court can't overturn a decision by the jury in a court of record. They cannot, because we are higher than them. People don't realize this. This is the law.
Is that what Trump, do you think he understands and is moving toward that?
I'm wondering that because of what I heard about, he understood about we got to get rid of this society that is sending
bar.
Special bar things. Now, I don't know if he was talking about...
He named it bar. He actually acknowledged bar.
Yes, he did. And we've been bombarding him with papers on this. Again, if you want to know... Our communications with Trump over the past year or two, right here, it's been a little over a year maybe, okay? I got to put this in order because it's really, the oldest is first, with the exception of this first one here. But the next one, we did a presentment to President Trump and Attorney General Bondi. We did a presentment to President Trump prior to that. Prior to that, we did an indictment upon the federal judiciary. And when AG came into power, we sent her everything that we've already sent to Trump and to the United States Supreme Court and of course this new presentment. We sent the addendum to the grand jury presentment. Then there was the presentment to the United States Supreme Court, and the addendum was the addendum to that. And then the latest paper was the redress of grievances to open the natural law courts, which I just read the final wherefore in that process, in that presentment. So we win that back. We win that. Then we will fix it. I will spend
a return receipt. Did you get return receipt?
Huh?
Did you get return receipt?
Well, yeah. Everything's documented, of course. I sent it through. What do you call it? It's not registered. It was the envelope.
Server.
No, I'm trying to think. Priority mail. So I've got the proof.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter. This, first, even if I just send it by mail to them, it really doesn't matter. But I don't trust them, so I did get a receipt.
Oh.
But the thing is this, is that we also copied Attorney General Bondi, we copied the President of the United States, and we've copied 45 other people. Okay, so he's been copied. They've been copied to a lot of people. Some congressmen, some senators. Every person in Trump's administration got a copy of this.
Okay, I know you're looking for people to help, spread the word. But the ones that come to my mind, and maybe you've already covered them, were those two brothers that were. It was all constitutional.
Yes. I know who you're talking about. I can't think of the name either. But the
Brunson brothers, yep. And then there's a guy, I think he's a lawyer, but he does Judicial Watch.
Yeah, you know what? I was sending things to Judicial Watch, and you know what they sent me? They sent me requests for money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So go figure that. I stopped copying.
And what was the other one?
You're all lawyers over there, and the guy that runs the whole thing is a bar attorney.
They don't.
There's no way, unless you can capture them and force them to sit down and listen. There's no way that they'll listen to anything that I have to say, because as soon as they start hearing some of the things that I talk about, they come to realize that everything they've been taught in law school.
Okay, Bannon. Bannon seems to be a man of the people. What about him?
Well, yeah, I should say something to Bannon. Well, that's a good idea.
I've really enjoyed. I've seen him, and he's pretty down to earth.
Yeah, I got to get some more money up to buy more books, because whoever I communicate to, I want to send some books to also. Anyways, look, we can pick up on this next week some more. We're coming to the end of the program. Let me see if we can get a person or two. Look, we got three people in the queue. All right, We have three people in the queue. I'll give you a minute or two apiece, and we'll have to pick this back up on next Monday if we can get to the subject. But let's take Brett. You got a minute or two. Apologize, but we're at the end of the day here.
Yes. Hi, John. I was calling, following up on last week's question about the habeas corpus, and I was following along what you mentioned earlier as far as habeas corpus not being a thing. So with that being said, I'm wondering, is it worth me doing?
Well, it's good. You could try it. It's potentially, it's possible to get success. I mean, not likely, but the possibility is still there, number one. It also can be resurrected, number two, because they have to respond to habeas corpus, even though they don't, because they don't think they're going to be held accountable. But maybe they're starting to fear and realize they are going to be held accountable. So you could try it. Why not?
Now, habeas corpus, does that have to be... Does every person have to do their own habeas corpus, or?
Well, the habeas corpus, if the person is in jail, for instance, and can't do the habeas corpus from jail, a next friend can do it, and they can write an affidavit on behalf of the other individual, and it's held as a sworn affidavit. They have to get the story from the individual in jail, get all the information, confirm the information, then write an affidavit concerning that which attaches to the habeas corpus, and then push for the habeas corpus. Or the person could do it themselves. And if they have a lawyer, the lawyer should do it, but they never will.
Right. Right.
But with that, I've got to move to, if you got one more thing, we'll do it quick, and I got two other people I want to give a couple of minutes to. But we can talk more next week. Well, next week may be tough because it's subject matter week. We have people visiting us next week, about supposedly 40 people. We'll see how many show up. They're coming in, particularly their group, and they want to learn about what we're doing. So there'll be a focused conversation on that.
I'm sorry. So to do it, I was just wondering how would I start that out as a next friend or?
Well, you go up here to Education Start Here. You're on the computer, right?
I'm watching from my handheld device. I just
Hi, well, Education Starts Here, and if anybody is listening and they're not seeing what I'm doing, they can go to today's issues and come down to NLA's Monday Open Forum videos, and you'll get this. I'll post this tonight. So, but the thing is, you come to the tab Education Starts Here. You come down to Law, and then you come over to Come down to Law, and then, oh, goodness, keeps flipping away here. Come down to Law, and then over to Court Forms and Process, okay? In there, you'll find an area that talks about the habeas corpus, instructions and forms. Instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus. We have it in PDF, and we have it in Microsoft Word. So... And just go through all this. This is all the paperwork in order to file a habeas corpus. With that, I got to move to our next caller. We could talk more next week if you want.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Dawn, you got the mic. I only got a minute or two. Dawn, you got the mic with the hand raised up.
Hey, John. I've talked to you before. It's been quite some time. I'm the woman that got contaminated in a nuclear reactor in Northern California, and I'm in court, and the defendant, the utility, is still not giving us the discovery items, which is the full body scan where I was contaminated.
Are you coming in on your own, or is there a lawyer working with you?
Well, I had an attorney, and because...
Okay, here's the thing, If you have a, if you had a lawyer or have a lawyer, then you tell your lawyer you need to go do your job, okay?
Because well, I had. The word is I had, H-A-D, I had
okay.
an attorney.
Okay, so what you can do, what you can do is there is a process where you write a paper to the judge and you force the discovery. Discovery, they have to, and if they don't give it to you, okay, well, they should. They could be sanctioned, okay, and number one. Also, it could move the evidence you're looking for into a positive thing into the court because look at when they have a duty to respond to something and they don't, that's fraud, okay? They have a duty to give you all the evidence you ask for, and the court will force them to do it if you push the court. Now, the courts are corrupt, so they may not. Who knows how they're going to handle this, but generally the way the process works is when you move the court to push towards the discovery and let the court know that they have information that they're not giving to you and you want it, it'll be subpoenaed.
I mean, yeah, that sounds all great in a perfect world.
Well, do a subpoena. I mean, yeah. You know, write a subpoena and take it to the judge and have him enforce it.
Is writing a subpoena part of your coursework? Because
I don't,
you know, now I'm on my own.
Yeah, I don't. You know? I don't know that I covered a subpoena in the course. But if you want to know how to write a subpoena, you go into your search engine and you put in "how do I write a subpoena in a court case." And you'll get all kinds of stuff from all kinds of people, okay? And there's forms out there for subpoena. I might have covered it with the forms, you know, because you go out and just look for a state form for subpoena. You can look for federal forms for subpoenas. You just Google it. You'll get everything. It's amazing. I hate to use the word Google, but, you know, we've become habited to that kind of a thinking because Google was the first one out there. But, you know, again, there's so many search engines out there. So just go out and put it in the search engine. You'll get all kinds of examples. And then follow the example. You know, I learn a lot that way just by, you know, putting it in the search engine. Okay? But there are forms for subpoenas. You can go to any court that you're going to, if it's a state court or a federal court, and you go up online into that court and you look for forms. And so I'm in New York. I would go to the New York State Courts .gov or something like that, whatever it is, and you'll have all the forms for New York. Okay, and you can download the forms. Everything you want to do in court, there's a form for. Now, I use their forms because, well, again, it's a good structure to begin with. I mean, I make my changes if I want to, if I feel the urge to do it, the necessity to do it, maybe change wording. But I basically use their structure of their forms. So that's what you could do. If you want to talk more, we can talk again, but I need to go to the next person. You got a final point or question before I move to the next, the last person?
I would be interested in hiring your expertise to help me because I'm dealing with a short window.
Yeah, I just don't have the time. I don't even have the time to do the things I'm doing. I'm always, I literally work 10, 12 hours a day. And I, you know, the moment I get up, I'm in front of my computer working. Or I'm going to a meeting or whatever the case may be. I just don't have the time, and I still can't get everything done that I need to get done. We're looking for money so I can hire people to do some of the work I got to do, and also pay people that are doing work that, you know, to get them paid also, and get them to do more work. You know, people need to get paid. You know, we're all volunteers here. I just don't have the time. I just can't do it. So, but anyway, learning, we got everything you here on this website to learn. And remember, don't plan on winning per se, but plan on winning in the future by writing a good case and plan to resurrect it when courts of justice open. and you take it into a court of justice and get it done.
When do you think those court of justice are going to be open?
I don't know. Look, I'm hoping that this paper we wrote will be the thing that's going to push it. And if it does, if we get this out to enough people and get enough people looking at this, and especially all Trump and his administration, and they realize this needs to be done, then it's going to be quite quick. So, and that's why, you know, we got books out to all these people, government by consent book particularly, and all the papers that we're talking about that's on our front page that we've filed. So we're trying to educate them. So. Okay, with that, I got to go to the next person. We could talk again in the future if you want, right? We're here every Monday. We were never not here. Okay, Dawn?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. All right, Robert, Texas, last caller. We got a minute or two. It's getting late.
Hey, John, regarding education, I may have educated one of your New York retired representatives, Chris Gibson. He's written some books on the Constitution.
Chris Gibson is very interesting because we supported Chris and we taught him a lot of stuff. He did a decent job. He did have some problems he just didn't understand, and he did look at a lot of stuff we gave him. Back in those days, they didn't have books written yet, so we didn't give him books, but we gave him a lot of papers, studies, and different things that we put together. He's susceptible to the truth.
Okay, well, I got to educate him. And also, John Cornyn, I think he's next in line to McConnell for taking over the Senate leadership. Mm-hmm. And then also our representative, Nathaniel Moran. And let's see, there was one other person. Anyway, it's just been, God's been good to me, I'll tell you. I'm sitting in a breakfast with a bunch of lawyers and five judges, and Cornyn comes over to introduce himself to me. So anyway, I gave him a card, and it's the same question that I asked Chris Gibson on C-SPAN, and that was the one about are human laws suffered when they contradict these? I'm trying to get people to focus on our original laws. Because when human laws are, no human law should be suffered to contradict creation in the Bible. So anyway, there's a representative, Senator Steve Toth, who just passed after 6 years a social transitioning bill in the Texas House. So he's been fighting on that. So here's the deal. And since we don't have a lot of time, you could probably go to x.com/politicalbrew. And I pinned this tweet to Steve Toth as a learning moment for him, and how if he knew creation and the Bible were preeminent to any man-made laws, that he could get rid of this transitioning stuff in our schools in a minute. So anyway, I met Steve Toth about 12, Senator Toth about 12 years ago, and he was the famous person at the table I sponsored when Ted Cruz first ran for office. That was like 12 or 13, 14 years ago. But anyway, so let me read this. Steve told, he says his tweet, no state, Florida included, has put an end to social transitioning of school children. Texas is the first. And then, so my response to that, and then I also appended a bunch of senators and Ted Cruz and Charlie Kirk. Well, these guys are following me anyway, so hopefully somebody will get it. It says, I've been so engrossed with first laws, in parentheses, Declaration and the Constitution, the law books used to write them, Blackstone's Commentaries and Tucker's Blackstone, Black's Fourth Dictionary, and the 2024 DOP platform principles that have lost facility with words of modern man. And then I go, where can I find the legal definition for social transitioning? The laws that determine transitioning's illegality. Preferably start with the two laws of 1776, then 1787 and 1789, and finally SCOTUS decisions and statutes. Our founders most quoted Blackstone with, no human law should be suffered to contradict these laws of nature and laws of nature's God. Could these laws have been used to get rid of social transitioning? So anyway, this really does seem like a gift of God because it gives me an easy opportunity to reach out to these guys. Say, I'll print this out, and then I'll call their offices. So there's Steve Hope, Senator Bob Hall, Senator Brian Hughes, Hirshen Bentley, who's our SODC, Rick Rogers is, and the head of the GOP and the vice chair of the GOP in Texas. So anyway, I think these guys are beating around the bush trying to play by their laws when we forget the laws that our founders fought with, and we can too. So anyway.
Yeah, and they don't know, they don't understand, they don't know our founders. They really don't. And that therein is, because if they knew, they'd be talking about the stuff we're talking about, and they'd be outraged about the stuff that we're outraged about. But they're not. At least they're not, you know, expressing that. Oh, with that, we got time. We're way, way over time, and we could talk some more, but we got to close down.
It is my chance to call up their office and educate them and give them reference to the link, x.com. / political group.
Okay.
Have a look.
All right. Thanks, Robert. All right. That will. Thanks everybody for coming. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday, hopefully. And next Monday should be an interesting meeting because, again, we have a group coming in here that have a lot of questions about what we're doing. And this is where I really want to spend my time talking is what we are doing, what our plan is. You know. So we're going to talk a lot about what NLA is actually doing. And hopefully they'll be interested to get on board with us and build committees of safety because that's their thinking at this point. Okay.
How do we get to join that class?
Oh, it's Monday, next Monday.
At your house or what? Just on here?
Next Monday's open forum right here where we'll be talking.
Oh, I can't wait. Thank you so much, John. Have a great night.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.